Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Daniel Clark Network Radio. I hope everybody's having a beautiful, beautiful Easter Sunday. The weather's nice, and we're just back out of a little break here. We kind of went back and revamped things, came up with some more ideas, and we're back, Daniel Clark Network Radio. I tell you, I was trying to get some music on here, but for some reason, it is not playing. So, with that in mind, we're not even going to worry about it. We're going to keep the show moving. Oh, well, we got one. Yeah, Daniel Clark Network Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening, I have a special guest in the background, the Ohio Players. My guest today is the one and only Marshall Jones. And I'm quite sure a lot of you remember this brother. He was the bass player for the Ohio Players. And he's going to be joining us in a few minutes. Just want to check everything out and send a little shout out to each and every one of you out there. My brother Jeff Clark over there at A-Plus Auto Sales in Enfield, North Carolina. What's up with you, brother? Want to send out some love to all my nieces and nephews and all my Facebook friends. I love you. You guys didn't show me no love for my Valentine's Day or Easter show, but hey, what can you say? You got to keep it moving. All right, so I'm going to let you groove on a little bit of Marshall Jones here with the Ohio Players. Think about it.
Yes, sir.
How you doing there, my brother?
Hey, I'm fine. Easter Sunday.
Hey.
It's a beautiful day here in Ohio. Ain't a cloud in the sky.
It is an awesome day, man. Awesome day, I tell you. You hear what we got in the background, right?
Yeah. Pretty girls are there. The pretty girls are walking down the street in them skin-tight britches.
Yeah, man. How about that? How about that? So how are you doing today?
Oh, well, I'm still standing. That's a plus.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad you called me. What's going on?
Hey, man, I've been looking forward to this day, you know. But before we go any further, let me just, give you some plugs out there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Marsha Jones, the bass player for the Ohio Players, right here live, Daniel Clark Network Radio. Look, if you want to call in and you want to talk to us, the number to call is 646-478-4995. If you just want to listen to us, you can go to Blog Talk Radio, / Daniel Clark Network Radio, or WDCU, Daniel Clark Let's Talk. Or you can pull us up on Facebook. We should be on Facebook as we speak, but I'm going to send it on over there. So you should be able to pull us up on Facebook as well, and also on Twitter. Now, for those of you who want to call in, once again, that number is 646-478-4995, and I've got someone on hold. Daniel Clark Network Radio, who's speaking? Hello? Okay, Marsha, you still there? Oh,
yes,
there
sir.
He is.
I'm here.
There he is. How you doing? This is Daniel Clark Network Radio. Say again. Hello. I believe you. What's your friend name, Marsha?
What is his name? I have a friend who's going to call you. His
Hello?
Name is Nick Busby.
Hello?
Yeah, I believe Nick's on the line with us now, right? Nick, can
is
you hear
us? Is that you, Nick?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Very well.
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Yeah, we got you. How you doing today?
I'm getting along fine. How are you?
Oh,
I might want to add.
Beautiful.
I want to add that Nick is a retired DJ, and I asked him to kind of get involved because I'm an amateur at this. I'm a musician, and I don't know how to talk that radio talk. You know what I mean?
Hey,
so
man,
you guys are kind of can maybe you guys can kind of make things happen.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we'll
yeah,
see
yeah,
where.
For real, but you can just be yourself. I mean, we ain't add nothing extra into this. We really want to get into some key points and discuss various different things as far as the community is concerned, as far as us as a black race, and especially as black men. As you know that this is my, and this is what I've said, that I would spend the rest of my life doing. Recently, in the last few years, I've had so many young people close to me that's dead or incarcerated as a result of gun violence. So I said I would spend the rest of my life trying to bring awareness to gun violence in our community, not just the community, but also the fact that we are being wiped out. Our culture is being wiped out. And as far as I'm concerned, it is not by coincidence, it is by design. So at this point, I just want to do whatever it takes by any means necessary to bring awareness to our communities and to try to get individuals to take a look, especially black men, and I mean a real serious look at the way that we are either dying or being incarcerated, you know. So with that said, Marsha, what I want to do is to just, man, I mean, you've been Ohio Players and the audience yesterday. I played a salute to the Ohio Players both on Friday and on Saturday. And did you get a chance to check that out?
Yes, I did. And I was impressed. I think you're doing a fine job, and I'm glad to be on the radio with you. especially as to what you're discussing in terms of enlightening our people, that is what's really going on. And we are at a crossroads in that.
Oh,
let me see. Now, this is Easter. This is Easter Sunday. And we're celebrating Easter. I don't know, I'm trying to think of a word to use, but it's not about us. I mean, how do you going to have a rabbit laying a chicken egg? Point number one. The reality is Easter is the Passover or the crossover from when the sun leaves from the winter solstice and comes up to the spring equinox, right? Like as we speak, day and night, we're just saying you're going to have 12 hours a day, 12 hours a night. That's what the Africans interpreted because they were the world's first astronomers. And what we got to realize is that we got to go back to our old ancestral traditions to know where we're going to go for, where we're going to go tomorrow.
Right.
And this is a good time to speak on that because this is what they call the spring equinox, meaning that the sun has come back from the death. The sun died on Christmas, and it sat there for three days. It made its circle back to, not the sun, but the earth actually moves around the sun, and the orbit is not circular. It's more like an egg. It's ecliptic, you know?
Right.
It has an ellipse. And when it gets down there on the winter solstice, the earth moves the furthest from the sun. And the Africans understood that as the death of the sun in tradition. Now we're at the spring equinox. This is the beginning of a new summer. And that's what we need to be focusing on as a people.
Right, right. Now, Marshall and the other audience, what was your name again? I'm sorry.
Nick.
Can you hear me? Nick,
yeah,
Nick, you can dive in. You can dive in any time that you want to, you know. What I wanted Marshall to do is to go back and from your childhood, I like to know what was it like growing up. And I believe you're in Dayton, Ohio, in Ohio.
Correct.
And then I want to know. As you develop yourself as a musician and being out on the road and in a lot of different places, what was the environment like out there in terms of discrimination? And I know even in my hometown, you know, there was several places that we couldn't go on but one side. I mean, they had a colored side and a white side, you know. But that was just
still
not
true today.
Geographical. What is it? Still true today. Well, yeah, just bring, let us know and the audience know how it was for you growing up in Dayton, Ohio, then becoming a successful musician, and what it was like on the road.
Okay, first of all, I was self-taught. I got basically an eighth grade education, even though I did get to the 10th grade. But I struck out on my own because of I went to a very discriminatory high school, and I didn't like it. And it was stupid of me at the time, but I was a young man, and I struck out on my own. I've had no training as a musician. I just had the love for it, and I worked at it, and I worked at it, and I worked at it. And I learned racism from my people, my own people, because like you said, white people lived over here, we lived over there. And we had lesser of them. You know, they had the better of all things. And we always had lesser. And it looked like at the time to me, my people was trying to imitate them. And I think it's still going on today. I mean, You got black girls that's always complaining about black guys going with white women, especially when they reach the level of success that I have reached. Well, why you want to go get a black woman? I mean, a white woman. Well, I mean, hey, all y'all trying to look like them. So why would I go with you when I can go get the real deal? I don't appreciate a woman. I don't appreciate a woman's imitating. I mean, why would you, the most beautiful woman on the planet, imitate somebody that don't look as good as you?
How about that?
And I've had that problem with black women, but man, you tell them that, well, you got smoke eating fire to fight. You know, you tell them that the money that they spend on curling their arms and this and that. See, my mother was a beautician, and my daughter, mm-hmm. who now lives in Houston, Texas, she was an Ebony Fashion Fair hair designer for 18 years. She got more trophies in her trophy room than I do. So I understand how black women want to be all that when they should be concentrating on raising their kids to the realities of life. And one of the problems we have as black people is Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
That's a major problem. And I know it's a very touchy subject, and it's very, I have to be careful what I say, but sometimes you just have to say it. You know,
hey,
you just have to say
you know,
it.
You got to tell it like it is. I mean, you know,
tell it like it is.
You know, you got to tell it like it is, because I think one of the things that we as black people have been doing is hiding behind, you know, whenever that word discrimination or racism is mentioned at any place and at any time, you know, everybody kind of move away from it. But the fact of it is that we were discriminated against then,
and
we're
still
even discriminated against now, even more so than back then, because you got all
exactly.
those hidden colors, you know.
Exactly.
So,
well,
you know,
in my opinion, we've become comfortable with discrimination. And, you know, I read once before a few months ago where someone wrote that black people are not trying to end white supremacy. Black people are just trying to improve their position within its parameters. And that's basically our reality. I mean, black people, we are just trying to have the nicest material possessions that we can attain, and that's supposed to take the place of freedom. I mean, you know, that's supposed to suffice.
I agree. You know, we got this situation now where, like he said, black people are satisfied. I mean, you look at Tell Live Vision. That's what I call it, Tell Live Vision. You got blacks just everywhere on TV doing well, making big money. You got Oprah. And that's why white people say, what about Oprah? What are you crying about? What about Oprah? And I'm saying, well, what about when you put two kids in a two dogs in a cage and you put enough food in there for one? I mean, these young men at baby-making age should be at home with their families, making money, with a job. But white supremacy will tell you, well, I want a job. And they say, well, we're not hiring. The only thing you can do is go to penitentiary and do some slave labor. So everything you do, in reality, as we speak, is designed for you to fail. You get a poor education. You get substandard medical care, and so on and so forth. Then when you do something wrong, you pay for it by, you know, not having families. And then you're supposed to be home making babies. And I've got a problem with the church because the preacher, you know, most women are in church.
They are.
Most females are in church today. Mm-hmm. And they come out of church popping their fingers and go on watching the players and such groups as that. You know,
right.
I was noted for wearing a turban because I was in research then. I was studying then because I wanted to know the facts or the truth. And I got the best, probably the best education you can get. There's one thing they say, there's two educations, one that you get in school and one that you teach yourself. And by traveling and seeing the world, I got the right education. And I'm glad you give me the format to speak on it.
Yeah, you know, and piggyback on what you just said in terms of education, you know, I think sometimes we don't realize that there's a difference in being educated and being indoctrinated.
Good point.
You see, you know, I mean, because you can never change the color of your skin, and regardless of your achievements, and we can use our president as an example, you are still looked at from the color of your skin.
Puppet on a string.
You know.
You can only do what...
Still looked at.
Yeah.
Now, Nick, I was told that you've had some experience in broadcasting.
Yeah.
You just speak to the audience and just give us your background and some of your thoughts?
I first got in radio in 1978 in Montgomery, Alabama at WHBI, and I went from there to the adult contemporary and country bluegrass station in Middletown, Ohio, and I went from there to my childhood station that I grew up listening to here in Dayton, Ohio, a station WDAO-FM, and I went from there to WPDQ in Jacksonville, Florida, which was another R&B station. And then I came back to WDAO to work there for another program director, and which, again, WDAO is our station here in Dayton, Ohio, that worked closely with the Ohio Players. And I went there to a station in Columbus, Ohio, WVKO in Columbus, Ohio, and I left there and came back and went to WROU here in Dayton, Ohio, which is another R&B station, and then I left there. They laid us all off there, and I went to a pop station and a classic rock station, Z93 and Wing FM here in Dayton. So I've played a lot of different kind of music on the radio. I've produced talk shows. I've co-hosted a talk show. That's pretty much my background in radio, producing commercials and public service work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. We need you. Look, I had a short course for Columbia School of Broadcasting for radio, but, you know, I've never really considered myself as being a radio talk show or anything of that nature.
You know, the same thing you told Marshall, the key is to just be yourself.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I know.
The driving force behind what I'm doing, and let me tell you guys, you know, we're talking about the theme, we got to do something to save our children, and always tell my audiences, don't look at the scene, look behind the scene. But there's so much happening in the community today that I've developed some programs, and I'm glad that I now have Marshall with me, because from where I'm at, we as black people, we are trained not to get on board anything that is not already blown up and popular. So
yeah, we're just consumers. All we know is consume. You know, we produce nothing. You know, and everything ain't got to be high tech. How come we can't learn how to make diapers? How come we can't learn how to make a safety pin? You know,
right.
My point is, I got a lot of larceny in my heart for the church, because when your God and your enslaver looks like your master and savior, You become the principal agent in your own destruction.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I want the young kids to understand. Your parents can't save you because they're thinking Jesus is going to save them. When you already had the concept of Jesus, birth, death, and the resurrection, and the doctrine of eternal life, that's an African concept that goes back 25,920 years. And I put that number up there because there was the Africans, they were lunar, solar, and stellar people. They the ones that made the first calendar. The Europeans changed it when they came out, when Jesus was born. They stopped everything and said, day one, new day. Now we don't really know actually what time it is. You know, you had a Julius Caesar to come along there, and he changed the calendar because he wanted another birthday. He wanted a day to celebrate his birthday, so he gave his birthday another day on the calendar, 31 days. And his brother, Augustus Caesar, came along and changed it. Julius was in July, Augustus was in August. So now we don't know actually, in fact, what time it was. When it was the Africans that developed the solar, the stellar, and the lunar calendar, that they know, because it's written at the Temple of Dendera in Egypt. It's 25,920 years. And let me make this point. The Egyptians were not the first Africans to be civilized. The Egyptians, they said themselves, we come from the foothill of the mountains of the moon where God happy dwells, which is in Uganda at that great lake they call Victoria. Victoria ain't got no damn lake in Africa. She might have one in Europe. Ain't nothing in Europe but coal, C-O-A-L, and coal, C-O-L-D.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they getting all this gold and jewelry and the things they're getting it from us? I want my children to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Africa is the richest piece of real estate on this planet.
Yes,
somebody's on my phone. You know?
Yes, it is.
And we need to look at that. We need to look at our African history and our African languages. So we'll know, I hold the church responsible. They should take our children under arm up until they get up to, say, the first grade. Then they will know something about who they are. So when they do go into these schools, they're going in for education. Jews got their own school. Jews got their own God. How come we can't have ours? And it ain't. Now I can't blame white folks for this. This is us. We got to understand that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Nick, you was getting ready to make a point.
Yeah. You know what I have noticed about other cultures, at least here in America, is that they tend to have a greater recognition of their ancestors than we have of our ancestors. And I think that ancestor recognition is one of the things that holds the community together. You know, we may have different incomes, we may have different lifestyles, but the one thing that ties these other nationalities together and races together are the recognition they have for their ancestors. And, you know, it's like your grandmother is your grandmother, and your grandfather is your grandfather, but your great-great-great-grandmother and your great-great-great-grandfather are also my ancestors. So when we have that to tie together, I see when I drive in my community on the black side of town, I see murals on the wall of musicians blowing musical notes, and I see trees and all little scenes of kids playing painted on walls. And to me, I think it would do a lot more to bring this community together if they had some of these murals with the pictures of slave ships painted on walls and the pictures of black folks hanging out of trees like strange fruit, and to remind people of what we have in common.
And one good picture is the first slave ship that when we were brought here over on was named Jesus. How come that ain't in your curriculum? How come that ain't in your school book?
We need to have pictures. We need to have pictures in our community of those slave ships. We need to have pictures in our communities of people out picking cotton for free. We need to have those pictures up to remind, because, I mean, you know, the Jews, they got the Holocaust Museum, and you know, we're painting these little feel-good pictures around the communities of famous musicians and famous artists and famous poets and all this kind of stuff. Well, yeah, they made their contribution, but what we're trying to do now is to find a unifying point for a community to rally together, and our ancestors is that unifying point as far as I'm concerned.
Our problem is our problem is we want to be something that we're not. Everybody wants to be something that who they actually are. Do you realize that nappy hair is stronger than straight hair? You know, why are we always just trying to, the three major Western religions are just that, they're Western religion. They're all built around Abraham, who was the first Jew. There ain't no, but before Abraham, there was no such thing as no Jew. And after Abraham was Moses, and Moses is an African name. That's a common name in Africa. Moses went to the highest schools in Africa. So he knew about the negative confession. He didn't go up on no bush and write no Ten Commandments. And when God is commanding you, you don't have free will. The negative confessions were negative. It said, I will not commit adultery against my family. Mm-hmm. I will not cheat the scales against my brother. Those are negative confessions that were known in Africa 10,000 years ago. Here comes some Moses, and his brother Aaron was the high priest of the Egyptian mystery system.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So what are we looking at here? You know, this is the thing that we need to go back and look to. African heritage is beautiful. And it's written in stone for all eternity to see.
Uh-huh. Okay. Let me just remind everybody that you're listening to the Daniel Clark. Well, actually, this is Mr. Jones, Marshall Jones, bass player, Ohio Players, has just became the co-host to Daniel Clark Network Radio, and the show that you're listening to now is called the Daniel Clark and Marshall Jones Show. And knowing that he's going to be out on the road a lot, and we've came to an agreement that he will not be able to appear on every show, but he will call in on at some times when he's able to do so, and the times that he's free, he will be right here, Daniel Clark Network Radio, Daniel Clark and the Marsha Jones Show. Now, so for any of you that like to talk with Marsha Jones, Nick, or myself, you can give us a call at 646-478-4995, and we're talking about an hour. Topic is, we got to do something to save our children. And for any of you that's listening to me or have been listening to me, and I've got some comments on Facebook in reference to this, but I'm not getting enough. See, one of the things, Marshall and Nick, that I feel is that for black men right now, there is nothing to be laughing about. There is nothing to be funning about. We must get serious, or
absolutely,
if we're not serious, when we wake up, you're going to look around and there's going to be nothing there for you, not even your women, because they're leaving you, you know, as we speak. I know so many black women now, successful black women, and if you talk to them, they don't want to be in a relationship and they don't want a man.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I say that's not by coincidence. That's by design. And to a lot of the black brothers that's out there, and this is something that I want to pass on to you and Nick, I've developed some programs, and I have some ideas. You know, the government is always talking about trying to get jobs for black men. They talk about that every day, but We still don't see any jobs. I'll give you a prime.
Ain't gonna happen. You got to understand, sir. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll give you a prime instance. Microsoft is building the largest data center in Boston, Virginia, borderline North Carolina, Virginia, rural area. And I can guarantee you that any jobs that an individual is going to get there is probably going to be a cleaner, janitorial position, or security. Other than that, they're going to bring in all of these other people, Indians and, you know, all the tech gurus. It's going to be coming to that area. You know, now, my suggestion for us as black people is that we got to start creating our own jobs.
Exactly.
We got to start creating our own jobs. We got to start doing our own communities. We got to start doing our own community. We got to develop those communities where we've got our schools in that community. We've got our daycare in that community. And I can guarantee you right now, my hometown, Enfield, North Carolina, with a population of 2,500. Now, if you really want to take people out of poverty and you want to put people to work, Enfield, North Carolina, 2,500, one call center, just one call center, three shifts, 24 hours, three shifts, 300 people per shift. That's 900 people. That's 900 people. You haven't gotten the janitor, security, and all that other stuff, you know, that goes in there. That is 900 people. You've taken away almost half of the poverty out of that small city at $13 an hour. One call center.
And that's good. You're talking about solutions. You know, I can appreciate that.
You know,
that's
thing
what
that
we got to get
to. You know, the thing that Minister Louis Farrakhan is trying to do right now is to get a national black bank started. I donated money to it myself this year. When you're talking about starting a business in the black community, you're talking about going to a bank to get a loan. And I've been through the process before, and these banks will want you to have 50% of your money up front to start your business, which, you know, for a guy that's trying to start a small business, when you're talking about the overhead to do that, I'm willing to guess that the average person doesn't have 50% of what it takes to get their small business off the ground. So
Let me jump in right quick, Nick, and solve that problem for you, because, see, that pops up all the time, too. We always had to go to these folks, you know, to get certified. Hey, give me 1 million black men right now, today, for everybody that's out there listening to me, 646-478-4995, you know, for everybody that's listening, every black man, 1 million black men right now, pull a dollar out your pocket, put it into a bank. Done deal. City by city. City by city. $1 from every black man right now today. You can go down to Enfield, North Carolina, and build that car center. You can go over Dayton, Ohio, and build some things there. Now, who will you get your business from? I think that maybe 80% of all the people shopping at Walmart is black. Hey, why
That's
not
what
have
I
Walmart?
Hear.
Why not have Walmart to do that call center for you? I mean, they're taking $80 billion. I mean, well, let me not say numbers, but I said 80%. But if we just take 80% of the people that are shopping there, there's nothing for Walmart to insist in giving us a contract for a call center. Lowe's, Home Depot, you know. So these organizations that we're steady pushing money into, and they're not pushing it back out. So when we start building these factories, when we start building these call centers and technology colleges, when we start building these things, Now, I tell you what, if Walmart don't want to support one, then why are you going to continue to support Walmart?
Yes, you're making great points. And let me jump in here and say one thing that you iterated earlier is that 2 years ago I had a fire on my farm. I had a 4-acre farm, just something to retire to, looking forward to it. And I had this fire, man, and I woke up in a what would you call it, black smoke everywhere. And ever since then, my lungs have been in deterioration mode. So I have come off the road. Yes, sir. I've come off the road, and since this Trayvon Martin debacle occurred, I have dedicated my life, as you said, to the awakening of black consciousness. Because we got to do something, or we will perish. There is such a thing as the, what's that word they call it? The protocols of Zion. Well, they already got things set up, plan to, if there ever becomes martial law in the United States again, they're just going to open fire on black folks in the black community because you're surrounded in the black community. So you don't have a win. So we got to think our way through this.
Right.
We will perish. Matter of fact, you can go online and look up this program. They got You Are the God You're Searching For. And that's a great title. Because ain't nothing in heaven, there's no cloud with two men and a ghost going to make no babies. You got to have a woman. You know, you got to have a female. And that's why we're patriotized. We're patriotists now. In African understanding, we were matriarchs. Women ruled.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can't, ain't nothing in nature created without a female principle.
Right.
And this is what we got to teach our kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got one generation out there, and that generation now, I mean, I've never... And I've been trying to understand where along the line of growing up and, you know, coming up as a black race that we've developed so much hate for each other that we will gun a person down for a pair of tennis shoes. Or, I mean, the life of a black man in our community with our own. I mean, we know and understand what the white folks is doing and, you know, how this thing is set up for us to kill ourselves. But
right.
For where do we develop such great hate for the color of our skin that we will snuff each other out just over a pair of shoes?
Well, it's happening every day. I mean, like I said, if you put two dogs in a cage and you put enough food in there for one, what do you expect to happen? Do we bring cocaine over here on boats? Or do we have planes to fly out in here? Sure, true enough, I did cocaine back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to go get it from the white man. When this crack boom shit came along, then all of a sudden I could buy it next door for a dime.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? What did you expect to happen?
That's my
point.
And I believe that that was the infiltration of cocaine coming into this country during the time of Noriega and Bush when they were giving up on that Contra war. I mean, they were utilizing the sale of cocaine in our neighborhoods to finance that war. I mean, these are things that we don't talk about or we don't even think about as black
people. Well, you know, I stayed with the mayor of Compton, California. And this is back in the 80s when the mess was going down. And he made it clear to me, you know, Marshall, he said, man, where they set it up, they had, you know how they park these railroad boxcars off of the side of these old factories, and they sit up in there. And then across town, they had another factory with boxcars and train equipment sitting up over there. And they have an infiltrator come in and say, Hey, man, look here, man. I believe there's some guns in that boxcar right there. But these kids ain't got nothing better to do. They can't get no jobs. You know, they set up to fail. Then over on the other side of town, they said, man, we think there's some drugs in there. And that's how it jumped off. That's what I learned from staying with the mayor out there in Compton, California. And you know the rest of the story. Once you get the drugs and the guns, what you expect to happen?
Mm-hmm. And they got
so
the guns.
So this is where we are.
Wrong people. You know, they got the guns turn on the wrong people. I mean, really, I went in the military. I went in the military because there were no jobs in my hometown.
I know.
So I went into the military to develop or get a better life, only to find out that racism in the military was worse than it was at home. You know, so you had to deal with that episode. And it's just a continuous thing. And if you look at these black neighborhoods now, how, you know, we're not getting no love from the government, none. And I hear Ted Cruz or whatever his name is. I mean, this guy is truly a Ku Klux Klan. He might as well go on and put the hood on. because, see, these people, they talk in this sophisticated, over-your-head words where you don't understand. But all black folks ain't stupid. And we know what you're saying. I dare him to say that black men in the inner city does not want to work. See, we got to start taking this stuff out of these guys' hands, I mean, and, you know, stop patronizing these people because they are designing laws that is designed to put you further behind this gun.
Exactly.
It's not going to do
exactly
anything for you. These laws that they're developing now, and I believe he just passed some law that first to revert Obamacare, I believe, was one of it. The other is that he's taking money from food stamps and Medicaid and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we pour a lot of money into this country. Martin Luther King says that single by ourselves as one, we are poor. But collectively, we're richer than all the nations in the world, and it's either 7 or 9. So with that said, why do we continue to pour money into a situation that ain't doing nothing for us? We pay this government. We pay this government taxes to provide a safe living for us. They're not doing it.
You know, we got a problem.
Doing it.
I think one of our two problems for certain. One is our preachers. You know, they're talking about some place in heaven after you did. Do you realize that you and the Ku Klux, any Christian and the Ku Klux Klan got the same God? What are you going to do when you get to heaven? And you got to face him. Wash his dishes or what? You know? We got to understand that there are two ways to be fooled. One is to believe in what isn't true. Two men and a ghost gonna make a baby. Or the other is to refuse to accept what is true. And you got all our women in these churches, man, and they're not accepting the truth, man, because they think that Jesus is gonna save them. And that you can only save your own black ass. Excuse my friend.
Yeah. Hey, one of the last songs that I played when you was listening to the set that I did yesterday, one thing that Tupac say, I wonder if heaven's got a ghetto. You see, and the thing about it is that now, yes, I wonder if heaven's got a ghetto.
That's cute. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, when you get a chance and you listen to the full version, you hear that song, you know.
Oh, Tupac.
Yeah, Tupac. Yeah.
I got a great producer. He just walked in. I got a great producer that just walked in. We've been making music around here. And he told me, said, awesome. Tupac come out with that.
Yeah. So, Nick, look, as far as broadcasting is concerned, I mean, you know, I'm trying to get this concept, we got to do something to save our children. I'm trying to get it into everybody's home on the streets. I'm trying to, I mean, I've thought of everything that I can do, even fasting, to bring awareness in our communities as far as guns, drug violence, and that stuff is concerned. What would be your suggestion from the standpoint of being a broadcaster? I mean, how do we get other people involved in preaching and carrying out this this mission?
As a broadcaster, you have to be heavily community-oriented. When I worked at one of the most community-oriented stations I ever worked at was WDAO-FM here in Dayton. And back then, if something went down in the community, say like police brutality or something like that, if something like that went down in our community, they came to our radio station before they went to the mayor. So being heavily involved in everything that's going on in the community and taking a part in that, sending a member of the staff to be a part of that, or making sure it's announced on the air that if the community is having an event somewhere, make sure the community knows they can come to the radio station and announce that event. Because, see, we've lost our radio stations, too. A great deal of our black radio stations, especially in the critical markets, the major markets, have been taken over by major corporations. And they're just like jukeboxes now. I mean, you know, there's nothing for the community at these radio stations for the most part. And that's what a black radio station is for. It's the unifying factor in a black community. It's not just something that plays records and DJs that tell jokes. It's the place that the community can come to talk to each other and to listen to each other. So from a broadcasting perspective, that's what you want to do with your radio station as far as uplifting the black community. Be a part of the community. Don't just play records and tell jokes and give a couple of minutes of news every hour. There and find out what's going on. Find out what's going on in the churches. Ask how can we help. Sponsor some things for, you know, little events and stuff like that. And because that's our problem. We don't communicate with each other. We're all on the same page. I mean, I'm not going to say we're all on the same page, but there are numbers of us, that significant numbers of us, that are on the same page as far as moving forward economically and politically. But it's you, me, and Marshall over here, and it's so-and-so over there, and it's like that all over the nation, little pockets of us. And like Marshall or you said earlier, divided, we're pretty insignificant. But together, we're significant. And so when you take the black radio stations back from city to city, state to state, then you begin to have black people communicating with each other again. And
yeah.
And
now,
once we see...
Now, I sent this thing to Facebook and Twitter, and I believe that the advertisement that I was going to be on with Marsha Jones live from the Ohio Players, bass player, posted his photos and, you know, everything. And there's only three of us out of 200. I've got 298 friends that when I hit that button, it should have went to all of their phones or emails or whatever the case. We have not had one person to call in. So I would like for us to
Well, now, so you, yeah, you look at it today as a holiday. It's Easter. And so I've been in radio a long time. And so you're looking at an Easter Sunday, and then you're looking at a playoff game that's on television right now. So
okay.
You've got a vast amount of, and plus, so like where I'm at, it's a nice day. The weather is breaking. A lot of people are outside the house today. It's Sunday, their day off. It's the weekend. So when you put all of those factors together, and then the other major factor is that you're always going to have more people listening passively than you will have people actively participating. So you may have 1,000 people listening and only have 2 people participate. So
right, right. Now, do you plan
you know, you
to join us? I mean, I would love to have you back next week. And if so, then can each one of us, this talk show, we can have 50 people on the line at the same time. I like to start boosting up the numbers. And once we get 50, I want to go for 100. And once we get 100, I want to go to 500. And then that remark that I made in terms of 1 million black men, $1, save one neighborhood at a time. I want to see if we can work that.
You can. I believe it. I definitely believe it.
And we can start with my hometown, and then Marshall, we can come over there to Dayton and find, you know, somebody there. And as more people join, then we can go to New York, or we can go to, it doesn't make a difference, but $1, 1 million black men, you know, one neighborhood saved already.
And I would like to suggest to these younger kids to start reading more. Reading is fundamental. The more you read, the more you're going to comprehend it. You know, because television is just that live vision. You know, and all they say on television all the time, you're being programmed. This is a program about this, a program about that. And most of the stuff on there isn't even worth to listen to or to pay attention to.
You know, they've been sending out subliminal messages for a long time. You know, sometimes when we were growing up, you know, the first thing that a black man got for Christmas was a cap gun. And if you go to their house, the first thing, the little kid run up to you, bang, 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 bang. And the girls got doll babies. So what do we have? Young black men killing each other and young black girls getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm. And once they have some babies, you can't go stay with them if you ain't got no job. It's crazy.
Yeah. So we need to start focusing on, and I've got a small organization of people that we have conference calls every Wednesday night. We're developing the National Coalition of Minority Businesses. And these are businesses that have an invested interest. We're going to kind of swap services. We're going to advertise, market, and promote their products in turn for them to bring their products to our website. We're going to attempt, and I don't want the wrong people to get old to this because they'll go running with it, you know, but let them run on, you know. And I've got a lot of people around me that like to take thoughts and ideas and concepts and develop them and call them their own. For all those people, that's one of the reasons that we're where we are now, is that you can't work together collectively. You got to try to steal and kill in order to make yourself look good. But we need to sit down as a community. We need to sit down as black men and come up with some ways that we can collectively make a difference in our community and save some of our kids from this gun violence and incarceration that other individuals is making money. They're building more jail cells now than they are schools.
Man, if you can only get past the church, that's your opposition.
Mm-hmm.
How much more time do we have?
Oh, we got quite a while. I mean, if you've got some other things to do, the show is scheduled for 2 hours. We're at 59 minutes right now, but you know we can end it at any time, and I can go into rebroadcast some of the other shows that we've got there. You know.
Yeah. Okay.
And I understand that you need to get back to some studio work or.
Yeah, I do have some friends here from Georgia, and we were recording, and it's time for me to put the bass tracks down.
Oh, it's time for you to lay them
bass
tracks, you know. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
But
all right.
I would like to leave with a thought from a friend of mine. I can't think of his name. He was with the Last Poets.
Okay,
and blessed to those who struggle. Oppression is worse than the grave. It is best to live or die noble cause or live or die as slave. We got to drop that slave mentality. But sir, let me get back to my work. And it might not take me that long. I can call you back.
Right. Well, we're going to be up here. Nick, are you going to hang in or you got to go too?
Yeah, I got to get off of here too. And Marshall and Daniel, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, let me just sum this up and let us think about the same time next week. And let us see if we can have five. The goal for each one of us to bring five more people to this conversation next Sunday. So if you guys are in agreement with that, then I'll go ahead and we can wrap this up.
I'm with you, dude. Let's do the damn thing.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Daniel Clark Network Radio and the show. The Marsha Jones and Daniel Clark Show. We've got none other than Marsha Jones from the Ohio Players and Nick, which have been programmer, radio, DJ, and I'm glad to have you aboard, brother, because you're going to have to show me some things. But next week we should have our regular crew. Jesse should be coming on, and we'll have some other people calling in, but the goal is to have five other individuals to join us next Sunday. And let me see if I can do this right quick.
Oh, girl, put that suitcase down. You ain't kidding nobody.
So,
you
brothers,
can't leave me,
woman.
Coming
on.
You love
and
me.
I look forward to next Sunday.
The what?
All right, bye.
Bye.
listen to any game. But don't tell me that it's
together, the Ohio Players, as we continue this set here. Just want to check a few things. Danny Clark Network Radio. The show each and every Sunday from 3 until 5. The Danny Clark and Marshall Jones Show. Featuring the bass player, Ohio Players. You hear him in the background. Yo, Bobby Arnton, what's happening?
Thank you.
Yeah, you've been listening to the Daniel Clark Network Radio, the show, the Daniel Clark and Marshall Jones show. We will air this every Sunday from 3 until 5. If you want to call in, the number is 646-478-4995. Want to send some shouts out to my boy Raph down there in Atlanta, Slow Mo J, Markel Records. I want to send some shouts out to Jerry King. Jerry, we're coming at you, baby. We kind of reorganized and putting some things together. To my co-host Pepper up there in Maryland. Pepper, what's happening? To my DJ, DJ Foxy Lady, and to the director of our fashion store over there in Greensboro. I think it's Greensboro or Greensville, North Carolina. Miss Carr. I hope that each and every one of you enjoyed this show. You can look forward to this airing every Sunday from 3 until 5. And if you want to join us, we're talking about we got to do something to save our children. Got to do something to save our children. And we are starting to make some type of effort toward bringing some awareness, gun violence, and kill one, two incarcerated, got to stop. This is Daniel Clark, and you can join me with a rebroadcast in a few minutes. All my Facebook friends on Twitter and Facebook of the Ohio's Players show that we aired yesterday. Take care.